Hello everyone, and welcome to minute 81 of season 10 of Movie Minute, the daily podcast, where we hijack our way through the 1974 action thriller The Taking of Pelham 123, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again, I actually have a returning guest within the season. This is the first time this season that I have a returning guest beyond, you know, the regular week that they do. So I'd like to welcome back Andy Golding of Blueprint Review. Welcome back for yet another week.
And, thanks for having me back, Rob. I'm really pleased to be here, especially since I hijacked you so many times last time. I didn't know if I was going to be invited back, but here I am. maybe it's the fear, is it? Is it the fear that I put in you that that made you invite me back so soon?
Well, I am a little concerned that you might get off the train and lock me inside. So, you know, I want to keep an eye on you at all times to make sure you don't do that. So, thank you very much for coming back and deciding to be a glutton for punishment and doing another week of this season with me.
No, I'm very pleased to be. I've got to attempt to redeem myself at the trivia because I, if I remember rightly, I think I came to it slightly cocky, saying, "Oh yeah, this is good. 70s is my area. I should do fine at this." I can't remember how many I got right, but it was a poor showing.
Sorry, I mean, I could re-ask you those questions and see which ones.
Yeah, I think I can remember the ones I got wrong, but
I'm looking at the five questions. The first one you got right, the second one you got wrong, the third one you got wrong, the fourth one you got wrong, and the fifth one you also got wrong. Yeah, okay.
Not great, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the only one you got was the first one, which was a general question. You missed the one on Blazing Saddles, Meatballs, Smokey and the Bandit, and Love
Story. Yeah, none of my favorite films among those. So I seem to remember.
Yeah, okay. Well, hopefully which disaster film was not released during the
70s? Yeah, it was Twister.
Earthquake, Titan Adventure, Twister, and Towering Inferno. Yeah. There you go. See, you remember that. Yes. And I'm trying to remember how you did on the Name That Remake.
I think I did quite well on those, actually.
I think you did. I think you did. You had Here Comes Mr. Jordan, Heaven Can Wait.
Yeah, I got that one.
RoboCop, Born Yesterday, The Time Machine, and then Lifepod. I think the Lifepod one you didn't get.
Yeah, there was the Time Machine.
And I don't think you got the Lifepod because you didn't know that there was a remake. I think that.
I think I got the Lifepod, right, but I didn't know what the remake was called. I certainly didn't know it was set in space.
That's good. That's the way. We do these things. So we'll see how it goes this week. Let's hope you can redeem yourself. I'm hoping. I'm rooting for you. All right. So minute 81 begins with the SWAT guys getting into place, and ends with Daniels giving the order to move. So we ended things on Friday with all these SWAT guys coming down onto the into the station, and you know, we talked about the fact that you know, they're trying to show their physical fitness by jumping over the turnstiles and all that stuff, but here we just get about 7 or 8 seconds of these guys just rushing around trying to find some position to be in. You know, we're going to see them a little later this week also, but it's just very funny the way they're just running around on both sides of the track. You know, and there's like one of the commanders is motioning for people to come on, like move faster, try to get there.
Yeah, it was interesting to see when I sat down to watch these, and I thought when I was on earlier, they were very sort of dialogue heavy scenes, and now we're into the action, so you can see how just in a few elapsing weeks how the action's ramped up by this point.
Exactly. And then we're back on the street, and you know, we see a police car driving against traffic, cutting across the street. And you know, we talked a lot last week about the S-Cline. We're not going to go back there, but I happened to notice there was a van that that's in the shot, that on the side it says Metro Matrix and Reproduction Company. And then it says the world largest producer of, and then I can't read what it says because it's completely blurry in the, you know, in the shot. But it's really weird that they used the word matrix back then. That's the one thing that threw me off. You know, I never thought that that was like a usable word in the 70s.
No, if you. I thought you were going to ask me when the first time it was used was was going. You thought you might have done a deep dive on the word matrix.
We can do that if you'd like.
We could do it right now here, can't we?
Yeah. I mean, when I looked at the name of the company, the Metro Matrix and Reproduction Company, I couldn't find anything. You know, they nothing.
Yeah, I'm just getting things about the Matrix. What was that? I can remember there was a...
There was a film called
Arnold Schwarzenegger film, isn't there? There's an Arnold Schwarzenegger film where he's called John Matrix. Yeah. Oh, that's right, yeah.
Now, actually, the word matrix, it's a Latin word which means pregnant animal or womb.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah.
I was not expecting that. So the film The Matrix.
I guess
the
so.
Pregnant animal.
That's really weird. That's right. I never thought about that. Right. So the meaning has changed over time from being a biological or nurturing setting to include any enclosing structure where something originates, such as a rock that contains fossils or a mathematical array of numbers.
That makes more sense as the imposing structure. It makes more sense as a Arnold Schwarzenegger surname than pregnant animal. Although I suppose if he was in Junior, he was in Junior.
That's true, but that was in 93, or 94. Junior, I think, was in 94, and the Commando was in 86, so it's an 8-year difference. But it's basically been used for a mathematical equation that it was coined by James Joseph Sylvester in 1850. It's the term for an array of numbers from which a number of determinants can be derived. I think that fits quite well with what we know about the Matrix. But again, I have absolutely no idea what this company produces, because it's the Metro Matrix and Reproduction Company. Like, I don't know what they're reproducing.
Again, that fits with the pregnant animal thing, doesn't it? Reproduction company.
It's a generic red van. So, and it's the world's largest producer of something. You know, I don't. I have no idea what it could be producing. So it's a little strange. You know, like I said, I was disappointed that I couldn't really find the name of that company, because that would be really, really cool to find something like that. Yes. You know, after 51 years where they have something like that. So unfortunately I didn't find it. Unfortunately the shot is a little too blurry to try and figure it out, even if I tried to get a little bit closer into it. No clue whatsoever.
Oh, well, we've learned a lot about the word matrix off the back of it anyway.
And so we have this police car driving in against traffic, and you know, slowly, not, and then you know, we see that as the car goes by, it's the New York City Transit Police, and we see our good friend Garber with the you know, driving the car. So it's nice to see that Garber's outside. And he parks next to an unmarked black police car. And then you know, he just leaves the car right in the middle there. Doesn't even look like it's a parking lot. And he gets out and starts walking over to the car, and he goes, "Inspector Daniels." And Daniels responds, "Daniels." Which is really funny. It's not as if he's like correcting him or anything like that. He's just saying, "Yeah, I'm Daniels." You know, it might have been if he would have like mispronounced the name and he's now correcting him, that would make a little more sense. But
yeah. Or if he was saying Inspector Daniels is my father's name, just call me Daniel.
and then at this point, he gets closer to the car, and he happens to notice something that he didn't realize when he was talking on the phone with or on the CB with Daniels, that Daniels looks a little different than he thought. And at this point, Garber just looks at him and goes, "Oh, I thought you were," and he looks around and goes, "like a shorter guy." And then he just like shakes his head and starts going to the back of the, you know, to open the back door, and he goes, "I don't know what I thought."
Yeah, I like that line because Daniels is sitting down at the time. He has no idea.
And I mean, you can see that Daniels figures this out. He knows why Garber is confused. Yeah. that he's black. That's what it comes down to. And then he turns to the driver next to him, and the driver next to him just starts shaking his head. Maybe he said this happens every day.
It's another really good bit of Garber characterization, though, isn't it? He's not perfect. It's not like he has to be like the shining liberal amongst. He's just like maybe a notch above his workmates in terms of being enlightened. But he fits in with that crowd, doesn't he? He's that era.
And he fits in really well.
That's the sort of opinion he fits in really well from that perspective.
Yeah. I like the way that he does it, but I also it's just great how he's like mumbling to himself. I don't know what I was thinking.
No, yeah. Matthau has so many brilliant line deliveries in this film. That's another one. That's a
shut up.
I just wanted to give you the opportunity to say that again. I know you enjoy it.
We need more time. We don't have enough time. So yeah, that's he has a great accent here. There's no question about that. And at this point, we basically he gets in the back of the car, and then he asks, "Is anything happening, Inspector?" He goes, "No, they're still down there. If the street collapsed, we'd land right on top of them." You know, which it's also a funny line, but we already knew that he's sitting there and waiting for them. Yeah, it's still weird watching a movie like this when you think if they would have just had a cell phone, it would be so much easier. You know, Rico could have let him know along the way. I mean, I don't think it was such a long drive for him because not that much time has passed. You know, I would say it's only been about 10 minutes. Maybe 15 minutes at this point. We'll find out later in the week exactly how much time has passed because we get to see a clock again. Actually, it might even be today. I don't remember which episode it was, but we do get to see again another clock as things as it goes. And you know, it's great how everyone just ignored this whole comment and they just moved along. It's like, move along, nothing to see here. And then they actually, surprisingly, at the very moment that Garber gets in the car, so Rico calls on the, Rico must have had a sixth sense that Garber's gotten into the car, you know, because he knows exactly when to do it. And he goes, "Command Center to DCI Manhattan, Command Center to DCI Manhattan." And, you know, the driver picks up the CB and just hands it to Garber. And Garber goes, "Yeah, Rico, this is Garber." And then Rico goes, "Track's been cleared for a couple of minutes now. You want me to call the hijackers?" And he goes, "Yeah, let them know. And let us know when they start moving, will ya?" And then he hangs up. And then Daniel says, "Well, what do? Do we wait or do we get started? If they pick up speed on us, we're going to have trouble keeping up with them." And Garber contemplates it for a little while, and for a few seconds, and he goes, I think we got to take off, Inspector. Get a jump on them for a change. And he turns to his driver, and he goes, all right, move it. So, again, it's all perfect timing for this whole thing, the way that they have this little bit of conversation as trying to figure out what they want to do and how they want to how they want to play it. It's interesting that they believe that the train is going any minute to start moving, which shows that they have absolutely no clue that Blue has some sort of alternate plan, which I think works well in keeping the suspense, because they're also faking, they're doing a fake out to us, making us believe that there can't be any ulterior motive. The only thing they're going to be doing is moving forward.
Yeah, I was looking at some of the lines he says let's get the jump on them. I was trying to find the origin of the phrase "get the jump on them." Apparently, it's to do with runners leaving the starting
box. It actually makes sense
ahead of other competitors. Yeah. And the other thing I looked up here because I thought is Rob going to ask me about this? Is the origin of police radios? Have you ever looked into
that? We talked a little bit about it a few weeks ago, I believe, but we didn't go really much into it. So yes, why don't you enlighten us?
Do you know when the first radio police radios were introduced?
I would say it would be in the 1920s.
Yes, it was 1928 in Detroit.
Okay.
There's a one-way radio system to broadcast crime reports to police cars, but they had a frequency which was KOP, COP, but because of FCC regulations, they had to class it as an entertainment station. So it had to be publicly accessible, and they had to broadcast music between the crime reports that they sent out.
White male 31 been murdered in his house. We'll be back after these messages.
Yeah, it's Glenn Miller. In fact, the other thing I found is the first time they had a two-way system was in New Jersey in 1933, apparently. So they became two-way quite quickly.
Oh, wow. Well, because they figured that, you have to be able to have this conversation.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
It's not just that we're giving you information. So yeah, it's interesting. So that's great. Thank you. Thank you for, how do you have any idea? I don't know the answer to this. How long they actually used phones in the car because I just think that's hilarious that they usually have like a regular phone receiver in the car.
I didn't find that.
CV. But when the police commissioner was talking, so like he picked up the phone receiver in the car when having his conversation. Which
I don't know when they switched over to the from the receivers, but that is funny. I didn't think of that.
Yeah. and so it is during this episode that I was talking about with the clock, because in the shot of Rico. When Rico giving the, so you see the clock in the background, and it says that it's 3:40. So it means it's been about 15 minutes since they handed off the money, because they had to give them the money by 3:23.
Yeah.
So if it's 3:40, so it's about, let's say it's 15 minutes. We weren't able to figure out where the command center is because nowadays it's in one police plaza. So, to get from one police plaza to 17th Street apparently must take around 15 minutes. I mean, that's the guess that I would give.
Yeah.
About that type of thing. As the car gets ready to take off, so the minute ends. And, Daniel just gives the order. Let's move it. So did you have anything you wanted to add about this particular minute?
I don't think so. No, the only thing that I've got now is that normally this would be Math Out Monday, so it would be where we We got into a list of methods, but obviously I Kate, last time I did my, in fact, I did a math out top 10 instead of top five last time. In fact,
There
just
you go. Not
saved
knowing,
half of that.
not knowing that you'd be back for yet
Yeah,
another one.
I could add another one, but what I did instead is I made a top five films featuring Julius Harris, who plays Inspector Daniels. I did a quick check of his filmography, and I found five other films that I've seen him in.
I see. I can only think offhand of two, but I'm assuming I've seen him in other movies also. Just don't recall.
Well,
But
I assume you'll have seen a few of
he's not
his.
as memorable as a, you know, when he's not a Bond villain or Inspector Daniels.
No. Well, as I said, when because I didn't have as much time to prepare as a late drop in this time. So last time I spent weeks watching Walter Matthau films in the lead up. These are some of these films I can't even remember Julius Harris was in them. So my number five is Sam Raimi's Darkman. Apparently, he plays the role of Grave Digger, so I'm
Okay.
assuming that's quite a minor part. But that was number five. Number four. I'm not the biggest Bond fan. In fact, I haven't. I should give Bond another try, really, because I haven't watched a Bond film since I was young, and I was never that interested in them. But I haven't watched them as an adult, really. So I really should give them a try. But yeah, number four. I can remember. I did used to quite enjoy Live and Let Die, and I do remember him as in the role of Teehee in Live and Let Die. So that's my number four.
Okay, well, actually, what's really funny is after you know, having my conversation last week with last week's guest, so it talking about him made me go and I rewatched all seven Roger Moore James Bond movies.
Oh, wow.
You know, so I got to see him again as Teehee. I like him better in this movie.
Yeah. What would you say is the best Roger Moore Bond film?
Well, the best or my favorite? There's a difference.
Oh, yeah. Go with your favorite. What's your
My
favorite
favorite
Bond?
is A View to a Kill. I think that's probably because that was one of the very first Bond movies I saw in the theater.
Sure, yeah.
You know, I was 11 when it came out, and I loved. I'm still a big fan of Duran Duran. You know, so for me, I still love watching A View to a Kill, even though Roger Moore is older and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But if I have to choose a favorite among all of them, it'll probably be The Spy Who Loved Me. I think that's my favorite of the seven Roger Moore. But I'm also a big fan of Octopussy, and Moonraker is very interesting to watch now in retrospect because of everything we know about the space program and stuff like that.
Yeah. And where would you rank him as a Bond?
Well, Timothy Dalton is my favorite because
Oh, right.
and so then I would rank them again. Am I ranking the Bond or am I ranking the stories that they were in? Because, like, for
Yeah.
instance, I love Pierce Brosnan, but I think he's a great Bond, but I think the movies that he's in, all four of them, are pretty much crap. So, you know, but I don't you know, rate him less because of that.
Yeah. Okay. Do rank as a Bond. Yeah. As
Okay,
you're ranking the Bonds. Where does Roger Moore go?
ranking the Bond. So I would say Roger Moore followed. Sorry, I would say. Okay, you threw me off there. I would say Timothy Dalton is my favorite, followed by
Okay.
Pierce Brosnan, followed by Daniel Craig, followed by Sean Connery, followed by Roger Moore, and followed by George Lazenby.
Okay, yeah.
But I do have plans over the next few weeks to rewatch all of the Sean Connery ones, rewatch Timothy Dalton ones, rewatch the Pierce Brosnan ones. You know, like I want to watch them, and obviously the Daniel Craig ones also. You know, in segments of
Yeah.
just that particular Bond actor.
And will you include There's like an outlier Sean Connery one, isn't there? Is it Never Say Never, Never Again? Say Never Again.
Well, Never Say Never Again is basically a remake of Thunderball, but yeah.
Yep.
I'll rewatch that one too. Yeah, of course.
Yeah. I just remember that one as the one that had Rowan Atkinson in it.
I don't remember that fact. I just remember they played like a video game where you get zapped when you lose or something like that.
Anyway, we've gone on a Bond tangent there, haven't we?
I don't mind. There's no problem.
It's made me quite interested to go back and watch them, actually. I should really make that a priority. Go back and watch some Bond films and see if I like them more as an adult. I probably would do.
Probably. I think about 10 years ago, I watched all of the Bond movies again, you know, from beginning to end. Obviously, there are a few Bond movies that weren't around back then, but yeah. Daniel Craig, I like him a lot as a Bond actor, and I like the stories that they tell with them. But one of the things that you know, they changed him into an action hero, and he wasn't really an action hero beforehand. You know, he was the super spy.
Yeah.
You know, so as much as I love Bond as an action hero, I still think the super spy is a better persona for.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess you go to the Daniel Craig ones for a different kind of experience than the others, don't you?
Exactly. And again, my ranking might change once I rewatch the Connery stuff or even Lazenby, because you know, I do recall that Lazenby was quite good in Her Majesty's Secret Service, but the problem was it was the first time that everyone said, "Hey, wait a second, where the hell is Sean Connery?"
You know, yeah,
that's what we want to see. We don't want to see this Lazenby guy. We want to see Sean Connery. So, yeah.
Okay, so
you see, you have homework.
Yeah. Okay, so number three is Superfly. I haven't seen Superfly for a long time, but I do remember enjoying it. He plays Scatter, and that the retired dealer and sort of mentor figure. My number two is a film that I really like. He's got a very small role in this, and so much so that I can't really remember him in it either. But it's the 90s independent film To Sleep With Anger, starring Danny Glover as a sort of possibly the devil. I don't know. Have you ever seen that film?
Yes, I've seen it. I didn't like it that much, but I've seen it.
Oh, I can remember. I can remember really enjoying it when I saw it. And the other, it's another independent film, my number one. It's a 60s film called Nothing But a Man. He plays the protagonist's father in that. And I remember really, really enjoying that film as well. So that's my Julius Harris top five.
I can't believe that you don't have Palm 1-2-3 listed on there. You
know, well, as before, I thought... As we're not scoring them today, I won't include Pelham. There's a chance to include another film, but yeah, if Pelham had been in it, Pelham would have been top.
Right. Okay. Fair enough. I see that on IMDb, Nothing But a Man was his debut.
Oh, was it? That makes sense. Yeah, yeah. It's a very good film that I seem to remember.
Yeah. All right. Very cool. Okay, so we will now play the daily game. I know you love my games.
Well, this was the one that I didn't do so badly at last time, but I'm not going to curse it. I'm going to come into it tentatively and see how I do.
All right, so we will now play the game Name That Remake, and we're going to hopefully see that your memory of movie remakes holds up. So let's spin the wheel and see what you get. And let's spin it around and around and around it goes. And where are we going to get? Okay, this is an interesting one. this one I've only seen the original. I never saw the remake of it. The original is from 1986. And the remake is from 2007, okay? And it's about a young teenager who is trying to travel across the country and gets picked up by somebody who starts to stalk him. and tries to frame him for crimes that he keeps committing.
Teenager. It's not the Hitcher.
Yes, it is.
Good. I've never seen. I know it's a highly regarded the original. I know it's a highly regarded film, but I've never seen that.
Yeah. I didn't like it so much. I liked it more as a kid when I saw it.
Yeah.
Right. So the Hitcher is with C. Thomas Howell and Rutger Hauer.
Yeah, I just pieced it together from the plot there.
Well, because I had to try and avoid using the word hitchhiker.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what made that one a little more complicated to try and explain. But I explained it well enough that you were able to figure it out. So that's good. And the 2007 remake is with Sean Bean.
Oh, right.
Yes. So, yeah. All right. So, Andy, would you like to tell everyone where they can find Andy Golden?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, nice and simple. You can find my writing at Blueprint Review, where I review new releases and also write about older films and compile a lot of lists, as I clearly love to do.
All right. Excellent. And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Around Minute. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Twitter. You can find me on Instagram. You can find me on my website, moviearoundminute.com. And if you want to send me an email, you can send it to moviearoundminute@movierob.net. So, until tomorrow,
get some time.